Good evening. James McKenna here with my Science Hour, December 6, 2012. And tonight's main science topic, I was going to spend a lot more time on this topic, but I'll spend a bit of time, but I don't want to waste the whole show on it. This past week, NASA came out with an announcement that many suicidal teens are contacting a guy named David Morrison at NASA. And so I just want to analyze this because it's regarding the 2012 end of the world issue. And of course, I've said all along that there is no issue. There never has been. This is a government designed misinformation program to destroy the image of the real images and understanding of the Planet X issue. And so, anyway, I want to analyze that a little bit, just to, as we are culminating, and I'll be one of the people more happy than anyone when this 2012, December 21st, it's just complete BS. It always has been, started by a bunch of government-sponsored quacks, and quacks like a guy in clown named Marshall Masters, just a complete quack, you know, that no knowledge at all, but have, and that's what the government uses. They use these people. If they didn't have people like this, idiots running around out there, they would have to invent them. So they're very usable people to promote these ridiculous information, and you got to ask the question: how do these people get so much press? How do they get the airtime, etc., or press or internet time, and the support to keep this going? And the answer is that it's slipped through the back door, so to speak, from think tanks, from operations within the government. And when I say government, today we have a very loosely knit fabric of what you might call government. And a lot of it is controlled by places where it's very hard to trace. But these go up to the level of, basically up to the international bankers. And a lot of it actually comes from, oddly enough, the churches. A lot of the churches fear losing power if the alien issue were released, or if the real issues of the ancient texts were released to the public, which includes Planet X topics. So anyway, I'll be hitting on that a little bit. First of all, just talking about the typhoon in the Philippines, some people have commented that it was a very low path for a typhoon. But the Philippines are rocked by these storms all the time. And so it's very difficult to say if this were a manipulated storm. I don't have any evidence that it was. It doesn't mean it was not. But the point is this very devastating for the Philippines, all of the islands. They don't really know. Of course, most of the people in the Philippines living in very primitive conditions. The situation like that is those people live in the outer regions, most of them in the outer regions of those islands, and so it's not even possible to get help to them. The only thing positive that I could say about this is that those people are toughened. In other words, when major natural disasters hit, they have to survive really on their own. And it's something that a lot of people in the first world wouldn't have the first clue. If your whole city was blown apart, or town, and there was nothing left, these people have gone through this many times, and they're survivors. And so it toughens them, it makes them realize what is important and what is not. And that's something, too, in a confused situation where, let's say there were in the United States, there were some kind of an event, and we've had these, or like in the Northeast, where people have to survive. The people in the Philippines are very much better suited to survival, and this is dealing with the poorest people. Let's compare this, for example, with what happened with Hurricane Sandy up in New York. Well, it's a cold climate. It was followed by a severe winter storm. And so the poor people there, most of them had to leave and never come back. It was kind of a social cleansing, you might say, just like New Orleans, because you have to live within a city infrastructure, which basically isn't there. So only the people that could rebuild and get enough resources together to stay there were able to stay, and countless people are just unaccounted for in the upper northeast sector of the United States. The people in the Philippines don't have any place to go, so they have to deal with what they have. And of course, it's in a tropical climate, therefore they are able to manage much better because they're not dealing with a severe winter storm coming in on the heels of this thing. At any rate, the people in the Philippines hopefully will be able to manage a bit better as time goes on, but all I can say is the only positive aspect of this is that it toughens them for the future when there might be other major events that go on. The other downside of this is they have no technology. They have, for example, something as simple as a water filter. They just don't have. And by the way, this just came in before the show. The ability to get some of our water filter supplies has just fallen through the basement. In other words, and I don't know the extent of it. All I know is that the name brand stainless steel filter canisters are not going to be available for some time. I'm still believing we're going to be able to switch and move towards Dalton, the name brand Dalton filters, and it's a complex issue in how this works out with the supplies, etc. But I'll have more on that on my webpage. And so that information just came in. And this is what I've been telling people, don't wait to the last minute to make orders or put it off, because there's going to be a point at which none of our products are going to be available. I still have the modular water filter system and storage system, that's still available. The pre-filter, that is still available. And the others, the small water filter, of course, is available. I have a big supply of those. But the issue with the name brand stainless steel water filters, we'll be dealing with that in the next day here and see how that sorts out. But and this is industry-wide. It's not just me. So it's not like you could go somewhere else. Turns out when the inventory drops like that, then it's countrywide, it's international in scope. But anyway, keep posted. I'll keep in the people who have ordered like in the last few days or whatever, I'll keep them posted as to how this is going to sort out. But at any rate, press is pounding on people to get the flu shot. I walked into a drugstore the other day, and every couple minutes, and of course the elderly tend to hang out in drugstores, they go get their prescriptions or whatever, but there was an announcement to get your flu shot free. All you have to go to the pharmacy to get your flu shot, and you get a 20% discount ticket for anything you buy in the store that day. And I'm going, man, who is paying for this? Who is, you know, and this is free. Well, let me tell you something. Nothing is free on this planet. And so anyway, buyer beware. That's all I can tell you. But also on the cover of USA Today this past week, hype that, oh, the flu season is coming, it's going to be really bad, you better get your shot right now. I don't get any of these shots. I'll tell you, that's bad news for 10 reasons. I know nurses who have been in situations where the staff or the management at the hospital or clinic would say, everybody's got to get a flu shot. And most of the nurses say no. They know they're not going to get that shot. So that tells you a little bit about that particular issue. Greece. This poor country is getting lambasted financially. And, of course, like most countries, including Europe, including the United States, we're going to see austerity programs here come the first of the year in the United States. Just watch this dog and pony show of Congress going back and forth, and they can't decide, and that's just a stalling technique, because it's right now it's too late for Congress to do anything about the so-called financial cliff, and Obama is counter-responding to the Republicans. No, this is big dog and pony show. And when it goes over the financial cliff, December 31st, the federal government is going to be broke, and the country is going to be broke. It's driven it into financial disaster, and this was the plan all along. So then in comes the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, to loan and save the day, and all of us, all of you, the people that depend on that financial system, are going to be in the austerity programs coming to a neighborhood near you very soon. And people are going to be thinking, oh, it was Congress, they couldn't decide. No, this was all pre-planned. All pre-planned a decade ago or longer to drive this country into financial ruin. A few countries are trying to get out of this. Egypt is having a tremendous time trying to get out of there. European Union this past week trying to set up an economic czar that they would vote on, and this being rejected by the World Bank. It just gives you a indication of how powerful the rulers of the World Bank are. And, of course, the IMF is the financial loaning member of the international banking cartel from Europe, and it used to be they preyed on small third world countries. Well, now they got their techniques down, and they're coming in on the biggies, the United States, Russia, the European Economic Union, and then individual countries like Greece and Turkey that are not really in the Union but adjacent to it. And taking them into financial ruin. About a year ago, Iceland, of all places, went and arrested the bankers, the bankers in the Rothschild bankers, and a lot of the Rothschild bankers fled when in Iceland they wrote a new constitution, basically outlawing the financial practices that drove them into ruin. They arrested and tried the six of the bankers there for driving the country into financial ruin. And so, anyway, the United States is headed for that, but the United States doesn't have the wherewithal to capture and destroy these people. Just a quick mention, a very rare appearance of George Bush Jr. And, of course, he never appeared in the elections at all, which is very unusual that a prior president wouldn't somehow help his party out. But they consider him to be a deterrent to any success of the Republican Party, so he didn't even appear. But odd, he appears now stating that the immigrants, very specifically referring to Mexican immigrants, are good and helpful to this country. And I know a lot of Mexicans. Lived in Mexico, of course, for a while, a long time ago, and I visited that country a lot, and I certainly know the status. I what I did there was I taught the kids of the very richest people, and I lived among the very poorest people. So I have a real balanced idea of what's going on in that country. But I would say this about Mexican immigrants, that the vast majority would live in Mexico if they could have decent employment and a decent life. I mean, that's their country. And some Mexicans say, well, I wouldn't even think of living there. But that's because it never even enters into their mind that Mexico could be a decent place to live. It's a place where 2% of the population has 95% of the wealth. Very unbalanced. It's a country without paint. A very unmaintained country, and just a stark contrast with coming across into the United States. So sure, they're here trying to eke out a better life. But what they've done unwittingly is help destroy the economy of the United States, of which they were a small part. Okay, so they, right now, and I've heard conversations from Mexicans recently, where they're wondering what their future is, because there are later waves of Mexicans coming in who will undercut what they will work for. They thought they were working for rock-bottom money, and it was okay. I mean, they could live on that and send some money home and exist. But see, they work without benefits. They work for the lowest wage. So they basically, they've destroyed the economy that allowed them to even be here. Now, later waves of Mexicans, more desperate than they are moving in. And mind you that the Mexicans have developed somewhat of a lower middle class, and are at least surviving here, but now a new wave of Mexicans are moving in, more desperate than they are, and will work for even less. So the people who are doing sheetrock or roofing or construction or other meat packing, whatever it might be, who are illegal aliens, and who were working for basically dirt wages, are now being replaced by people, Mexicans coming in, who will work for even less. So they're getting the same treatment, so to speak, that they dealt out when they came here. And the end result is that the Mexican economy, there's a lot of money in Mexico, it's just poorly distributed. It's just distributed amongst the very wealthy. And so they have nothing to go back to. But if you put it like this to the Mexican people I know, I said, if Mexico really had a good economy, you could go back and live in a house, a decent house, have a good job with benefits, would you go there? And they would look at you like you're crazy, because that isn't going to ever happen. But if you could press the issue and say, look, if it were really possible to have a good life in Mexico, would you go there? And they 100% go, absolutely, they'd be there right now. But they, you know, that isn't going to happen. That's the attitude. But anyway, back to the point that George Bush Sr. pops up, or George Bush Jr. pops up. By the way, he looked pretty haggard. He did not look good. Just like Billy Clinton's not looking too hot these days, nor Hillary for that matter, who's on her way out, being sidelined and put out to pasture, so to speak, after the election. But anyway, the reason that George Bush Jr. would say that Mexicans are good for the economy is because all his buddies get cheap labor. And he says it's for the families. He's good at pointing to the children or the family to get their uses. They said they attacked Iraq to help the children. Boy, is that guy a liar. At any rate, no, they attacked Iraq to get the oil and the artifacts, the archaeological artifacts from Iraq. So at any rate, enough of that. Just a quick notice here, this December 31st, and of course this is due to inaction of Congress, a tax loophole is being closed. And this was a law passed in 2007. It was called something like the Mortgage Homeowner Debt Relief Act, which simply did the following, that if a person short-sold their house, the bank was getting less than the loan value on the house. Well, the thing that most people didn't realize then is that the difference between what the house sold for and the bank loan value would be considered as income by the good old IRS. And so these people ended up with a tax liability, which they didn't understand, of course, when the realtors came in and told them it was the best thing since sliced bread. So, but at any rate, there was a, for some of these people, there was a, what was called a Mortgage Debt Relief Act, which relieved them of having to pay taxes on foreclosed or short-sailed real estate, personal real estate like houses. That is going away as of December 31st, 2012. And so all of a sudden, we're going to find, especially there was just a fire sale of wealthy people trying to sell their house for any amount of money, up trying to get it sold and done with before the first of the year here, to try and get under that tax loop, because the richer you are, of course, the better the house you have, the bigger the debt you're going to have, and of course, the bigger the tax debt you're going to have when that house unloads. At any rate, this is going to be the last straw, because a lot of foreclosure went on up to now, but the bulk of it is yet to come. So not only will people be behind in their house payments and not be able to, they'll be upside down and can't get out, they'll also have this immense federal tax liability. And I guarantee you, this is going to send shockwaves through the wealthy as they become criminals overnight and destroy any other facet of savings that they might have. This is the ruin of the United States. There's no other way to put it. So the good old United States in absolute financial ruin, the federal government going over the financial cliff. Need I say more? Okay, well, that's all I'm going to talk about right now. That I'm going to start to turn my attention to this issue of 2012, and I'm going to try not to spend the whole hour on this, the whole rest of the hour, but let me just pull up this article here, and this has appeared in many places. I'm looking at it on space.com, one of the NASA mouthpieces, and here's the title, 2012 Mayan Apocalypse Rumors Have Dark Side, NASA Warns. And it appears that possibly this article originated on space.com. I saw it in quite a few other venues. But anyway, it says, I'll just quickly read it here. It says, NASA scientists took time on Wednesday, November 28th, to soothe 2012 doomsday fears, warning against the dark side of Mayan apocalypse rumors. Frightened children and suicide teens who truly fear the world may come to an end December 21st. These fears are based on misinterpretations of the Mayan calendar. On the 21st, the date of the winter solstice, the calendar, referring to the Mayan calendar, cycle called the 13th Baktun, comes to an end. Although Mayan scholars agree that the ancient Mayan would not have seen this day as apocalyptic, rumors have spread that a cosmic event may end life on Earth on that day. Okay, so let me stop there. Let's put this into perspective. This whole rumor, this whole pile of garbage about 2012, the 21st of December, the Mayan calendar, it was started by a government misinformation campaign. And it should have never, ever gotten the time of day. It never gotten the time of day at all. But it was, when you see these things happening in the extensive press coverage that this received. There were even Hollywood movies made out of it. Many Hollywood movies, not only one, dealing with 2012. The end result is that everybody is aware of this in the 21st of December. And, of course, when it comes and goes and nothing happens, just like the May 15th, 2003, crazy lady talks to aliens, Planet X is supposed to destroy the world. It's to end any public consideration of the of topics regarding Planet X. And so you know, this is a well-crafted, well-publicized misinformation campaign. And one thing that has been clear too throughout all of this is that the churches are very afraid also of this issue of Planet X. They're worried about people really understanding the issues of Noah, of Moses. And a lot of this information has been taken out of the texts which are taught by the churches, because they would lose power if, you know, it's just a string of ancient history of control of the populace. When Julius Caesar created the calendar in, 45 B.C., an edict went out to create the calendar. The best people dealing with calendars got together, and we're still using that calendar system today. That calendar they extrapolated back in time and said it really began 4,000 years earlier. And that's what they're doing with this Mayan calendar. They're going, it started 4,000 years ago. That's like a kind of a round term number in solar cycles. And of course, there's a 26,000 year precession of the Earth, which is another cycle of the, you might say it's another calendrical cycle. But the point is that when calendars are created and maintained, there's a great effort by the people in charge to destroy the history of where calendars came from, and that's what Velikovsky was studying. Another guy, just speaking of David Morrison again, who was Carl Sagan's student, their whole effort was to destroy the Velikovsky and any credibility that he might have. But, and of course, they concentrated on the concept that, well, it was he was making astronomical claims that couldn't possibly be true, when in fact Velikovsky was studying calendars, and all the information he got about Venus and all of the references he got to Venus were because it changed the calendars. But don't ever watch for NASA or anybody else to make that point. Just a little side here, David Morrison is the head of the, let me get this right here, I want to, David Morrison, he's an astrobiologist at the NASA Ames Research Center, and, but anyway, I debated him on the Coast to Coast radio show many years ago, I forget what year it was. But it was a debate set up by Coast to Coast because there was this issue. They had David Morrison as a guest. They had me as a guest. And both of us had been a guest on that Coast to Coast AM many times. And, of course, clearly a difference. I had always had very high numbers of people listening to me on Coast to Coast. And, of course, David Morrison was considered the top spokesperson scientist at NASA, representing the near-Earth asteroid research mission, the NEAR mission, and predicting or tracking near-Earth potentially damaging asteroids. But so anyway, we had a debate, and this was set up over a period of about a month, where it was advertised, it was David Morrison and I talked on the phone a number of times prior to the debate to set up ground rules that we were going to keep this on a scientific basis. We were not going to get into name calling or other base get away from the topic. We were going to keep it on scientific terms, not the name calling, all of the jumping up and crazy stuff that happened. A lot of the Velikovsky supporters, who I have many of them grave questions about their real motive for being a Velikovsky supporter, but be that as it may, jumping up and down and screaming and acting like complete nutcases and clouding the Velikovsky issue even further. I've always said that Velikovsky's biggest enemies were his supporters, because they just came off like nutcases. And so that's why I've never had anything to do with them. Specifically, and especially in recent years. But the point is that the debate was set up, the night came, and we started out, and by flip of the coin, I got to go first on the debate. And just to give you a little review, what I started out by saying is that Velikovsky made some mistakes, and I said, and I clarified those mistakes, like the fact that Venus did not pop out of Jupiter. Velikovsky wasn't a scientist, but I tried to clarify the things that were correct about what Velikovsky did. The identifying the fact that Venus was a large comet, came through the solar system, damaged Earth on two occasions, it came by Mars, lifted the atmosphere and oceans off of Mars, and that was prior to its encounter with Earth, and all of this was witnessed by civilizations all over Earth and recounted in texts, and that's what Velikovsky did. And David Morrison's point was that modern science does not recognize this. And the end of the debate, there was a call-in vote that was going on throughout the show, and I thought I would lose by 100-0. And David Morrison, with all the press that NASA had and the funding and the decades and decades of pounding on Velikovsky that he couldn't possibly be true, I thought I would lose that debate by 100-0. I actually won it. It was like about 53-47%. I forget the exact call-in vote balance, but in a presidential election, it would have made me win by a landslide, which shocked me right out of my chair when the debate was over. But more than that, it just shows the amount of lack of support that NASA has, the lack of credibility with the public. And, of course, I had been on Coast to Coast many, many, many times talking about my science, and the thing that I brought to the table was the fact that I gave scientific reasoning, scientific theories for why Velikovsky was correct. But at any rate, now David Morrison is fielding this particular issue of 21st of December 2012, and he, in a sense, he's absolutely correct. It's a bunch of bunk. But you have to understand that this is a big dog and pony show set up by the disinformation crew, and David Morrison is not aware of this. He's just being used. And you got to understand too, he's a tier two scientist. He's not in the very top tier of scientists. I've always said, if you see a scientist, if you see their name in public, or like Don Yeomans from JPL, who also appears in the article, these are tier two scientists. Their job is to, whether they like it or know it or not, their job is to basically filter out the garbage science, pass that off on the public. But let's take a little bit deeper look at this article. David Morrison claims that people are emailing him scared about this so-called doomsday date of December 21st, 2012. And first of all, yeah, I believe that. I believe there's possibly a lot of general public who are emailing him looking for a response. But then I also believe that the disinformation crew is busy sending some of those emails, and that they're putting him up to the task of responding to these. And I'd say this is the main point here. And what I'm afraid of is that the government think tanks disinformation crew would go as far as to have kids commit suicide because they have these sleeper groups. They have kids that are out there, the kind of kids that would go shoot up a high school, that they're doing mind control on these kids. And these kids they would find on the internet, loners, kids who are not socially accepted at school, possibly, and have them set up that on December 21st they're going to run out and commit suicide to blow this thing up like crazy. And now I want to go back in time here and remember that the May 15th, 2003 Crazy Lady Talks to Aliens, there were four suicide groups that were set up, and one in Japan, one in California, one in Wisconsin, where good old Nancy was, where she had her own little cult following in Wisconsin, and then one in France. And there were supposed to be mass suicides as a result of Planet X supposed to crash into Earth then, in 2003. And what I did is I found out about this 3 days before May 15, 2003, and I called up NASA myself, and I posted it on my web page, and I made a big public issue out of it. I said, if NASA doesn't use its power of the press to prevent this, they will be actually guilty because they didn't prevent it. And so the end result was that they... the whole thing faded away. There were no mass suicides. But that's the point that these people will go to. Let's flash back to the Heaven's Gate issue with Hale-Bopp. I've talked about that before, where 37 people died in a supposed suicide. But that was very much a constructed murder event by the powers that be, and I've talked about that before. I'm not going to go into that on this particular evening. But there are, again, suicide related with people, with comets, with the story of aliens coming in and making this crazy as possible so that the public will never touch it with a 10-foot pole. But that's what's going on in this article. They're preempting, so to speak, the December 21st, and this is all over the press. So it's obvious they're trying to very much promote this idea that kids this time, the twist to this story on suicides and Planet X and crazy people and cults and survivalists and whatever else they want to throw in, Nostradamus and the Mayan calendar and crossing a galactic plane or whatever else they throw into the soup bowl here, that there is would be you know, crazy people, cults, survivalists, but the thing that's different this time is they're including kids, and that's what is kind of weird about this one, that they would prey on kids, and if NASA had done their job, this would have never popped up in the first place. I know NASA's been working for a long time trying to dispel these rumors, but my question is, Is this an important enough issue where they're going to prop up kids to commit suicide in these, like, sleeper cells, so to speak, these mind control groups that the government is managing out there? Are they going to pull this so that they can shut down, so to speak, any talk about Planet X? And, of course, I've been saying all along that Planet X 2012, Mayan calendar, end of the world, December 21st, that's all a bunch of baloney. But see, what's going to happen if they do this and they get a bunch of kids to commit suicide, then they can come in and say, we got to control this. We can't have anybody talking about Planet X. The official response from NASA is that there isn't anything like this, we cannot have anybody talking about Planet X. You see what the end result is going to be. So any voice like mine would be totally drowned out or eliminated or prevented in the future. When the real topic of Planet X is, yes, they exist. It's not going to happen on the 21st of December 2012, but we're looking at other issues. We're looking at a comet coming in next year. How long has NASA known about that particular object? Obviously a long time before it was announced on the 21st of September. And what an odd date to announce that, the 21st of September, the fall equinox, they like these dates. They like these astronomical dates, but very much not giving the public the information they need on this issue of this comet coming in. And that's why I've been trying to cover that topic over past weeks. I'll be continuing to cover that. And the real fireworks will not be starting until into next year. So, but I will keep the public posted on that particular issue. But once again, NASA totally diverting the idea of events that will be major events, but preempting them with this 2012 apocalypse going to end. By the way, as we're talking about all of this, I thought it was rather interesting that I was invited to be on the History Channel, and a number of people thought this too, that I would be set up as this past issue of the Apocalypse, Countdown to Apocalypse, the History Channel 2 special that I'm interviewed on, that could have been a setup, trying to set me up, and with Planet X, and of course all of this occurring at the same time, being aired in the fall, right before NASA plans these suicides, and trying to point to me as the cause of it. But of course, my message is very clear on my webpage. But it's like swimming with the sharks out here. It's like when I'm guest on certain radio shows, and my message somehow gets combined with other people or other guests that are not even on at the same night. You're kind of swimming with the sharks out here. And that's why I only post on my webpage. That's why I only post on my radio show. And that's so it becomes very clear. I can clarify all of these issues. So if somebody really wants to know the whole story, they got to come to my webpage, not some interpreted webpage out there or somebody trying to take bits and snippets out of what I'm saying and twist them into something else or combine it with somebody else's work. All of that a possibility. So at any rate, let me just make a few other comments about this article, and then I'm going to move on. Let me look at, kind of analyze here some of the real misinformation issues. First of all, a lot of the misinformation about 2012 and the doomsdayers is that Planet X will look like a planet. And that is completely false. It will look like a huge comet. So on both sides of the dog and pony show, you find that everybody is talking about Planet X looking like some big round ball in the artwork in the NASA article on space.com. You find here's Earth and then this rogue planet crashing into Earth, and it looks like a planet. The last thing they want you to understand is that, first of all, there won't be any direct collision if anything like this ever happens. It's something passes by, nearby, and it's something big that passes nearby. And it's going to look like a massive comet. And so you see how both sides of this dog and pony show have clouded the issue of what will you see and what's it going to look like, and then this concept that it's going to crash directly into Earth, which is really, 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 really improbable. Highly, highly improbable. But you find both sides pounding on this issue so that the average person is never going to make it past that particular aspect of this issue. They also refer to what they're saying here is magnetic reversal, that somehow the Earth's magnetic field will reverse, and that the planet will almost move 30,000 light years and fall into a black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. Of course, here again, it's the dog and pony show of them setting up the goofiest story you can possibly imagine, and then the scientists at NASA debunking it. And this is the dog and pony show that the public sees from this whole issue, when that's the most absurd thing on the planet. But then, see, that's what they can pick out. So it's like I say, they create the crazy story, then the NASA white horse with the white hats come riding in to save the day, And of course, it's ridiculousness that they're debunking, so that's easy. Anybody could do that. But the NASA scientists don't understand that they're debunking a set up story. They're not smart enough to realize that they're just part of a big dog and pony show, that they're the tier two scientists doing their little job of protecting tier two science. And then it also promotes tier two science, the garbage science that passed off to the public, as being true, because gee, look, you got the option of something completely ridiculous or tier two science, and that looks pretty good comparatively. There's another one, that there will be a complete blackout, electrical blackout, between December 23rd and 25th. That there's no basis for this, and then they can comment on the fact that we really are in a kind of a wimpy solar maximum, one of the weakest ones that we've seen in a long time. So even the end of the grid, the people who have been, even within NASA, they're saying we could have this tremendous grid outage, but now you've got other scientists at NASA saying that that's probably not likely, just because we're in such a weak solar maximum cycle here. But at any rate, they end that the greatest threat to man is climate change. And so here we get climate change thrown in at the end of this article as the biggest threat to man. Wow. So at any rate, I just wanted to comment on this, because we're almost winding down on this 2012 Mayan calendar, cross through the galactic plane, and all of this other just complete garbage. And like I say, I'll be very glad when this is over, but the effects are going to be very permanent and very damaging. And if they pull off a suicide event, then Congress is going to come in and act and watch, or some kind of legislation passed to prevent anybody from talking about Planet X that's not an expert at NASA. And so I'm just waiting for that particular phase of this disinformation campaign to take hold. So fun and games. I never imagined when I was going to university and taking my physics courses and math courses, never in my wildest dreams did I imagine that this would be the outcome of physics and science in this age. I thought we would be just like the movie 2001 with space stations, and we'd all be we'd have HAL computers playing chess and talking to us, and we'd be able to go we'd be on our way to Jupiter for manned missions to Jupiter. And look at what is going on. We're just NASA's space shuttle program is dead. NASA's funding has been cut. The NASA scientists are just sitting on a pile of garbage science that they're pawning off on the public. The public is the most ignorant science public possibly in the history of the world, with just base knowledge of flat earth science. This is the state of science today. It's just absolutely beyond pathetic. And the world, this relates back to the economic situation too. If you had an educated public, if they were intelligent on the issues of science, then they would be harder to pawn off the economic part of the disaster that is going on today. But if you keep them ill-educated in one area, in science and mathematics, then it's going to be very easy to pull the wool over their eyes in the economics world and the political world. And unfortunately, the United States does still represent possibly the most economic power in the world, the country with the most economic power. And so to have a public here as stupid as they are, as easily controlled as they are, is bad for the entire world. That's a point that I continually make in the latest book, The Diamond Principle, that we are nowhere near any kind of point where we could even imagine going into outer space, or even imagine collectively putting some kind of program together to go into space. Look at the poor people in the Philippines. They're just crawling out of the mud at this point. I mean, this is probably no different than 5,000 years ago. That's the state of, like, the Philippines right now. There's no communication. There's no way of knowing who's dead or who's alive. And only in little local pockets do people have any inkling of the well-being of the people in their area. I've seen pictures of the devastation there, the trees down. When things are like that, you're at a very base level. A cut can become death-threatening because of infection. So the status of the Philippines, very dire. But, you know, that's the state. Can imagine the state after, say, the Venus event or after the Noah's Flood, where the Earth, you know, had major changes. There were major population changes. Few people lived through it. How did these people survive? It was just through pure wits and to start a new population on Earth. The Noah event, it appears, took place in the Mideast, but we have records of the flood, the Great Flood. The Hopi Indians have a legend, and I've always said that in the Tibetan Plateau and in China, for some reason, they fared much better. The populations after the events were much larger, and so they generated populations much faster. That's why those parts of the world are ahead of us in population growth. But the other thing that I've said is that the United States has a population bomb underway that is unregistered, unrecorded, in spite of the fact that George Bush Jr. thinks it's great. We have an absolute population bomb occurring in this country. And as much as I love to see little kids and all of that, the Mexicans are having babies, and the population is literally right now. There's probably 40 million of them in the United States right now. The whole reason the U.S. population went from 290 million a decade ago to about 320 million right now is because of illegal immigration. Those people are having 3, 4, 5 babies, and bing, 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 like that, with no attrition rate that they would have if they were in Mexico. And so all of a sudden you're going to see a doubling of that population. It's already happened, where the 40 million people have doubled to 80 million, and they're already living here. And when those kids grow up, they're going to start having babies at age 13, and they're going to double. And so we're going to see a population just absolutely explode here. And when you hit that half billion mark, which we're headed for very quickly, once you hit that knee, that's where India, remember that India, what was it, 1967, had only less than a billion people. It's quadrupled since then, and that's what's going to happen in the United States. It's going to push the population to the wall overnight, and nobody is talking about that. Okay, I just want to finish with a few summary ideas, because there are a lot of new people listening to this show. The real issues of Planet X. First of all, when large objects come into the solar system, they will take the form of a comet. That's another unspoken issue in the NASA articles. And, you know, it's a supposition that their science is correct. The real issue is that the dirty snowball comet model isn't true. There's all kinds of supposed science assumed in the article that just came out, NASA defending their position that there is no issue on December 21st, 2012. The real issue is, no, there isn't. And it was a constructed, made-up story so that it could give NASA press. and destroy the whole concept of Planet X. And it's going to be very successful. That's all I can tell you. Real issue is that planets don't, then in the state of formation, the planets do not look like planets. They're going to look like a large comet. And so when events like this happen, like we're going to see this coming year, that a large comet coming into the solar system, C2012 S1, NASA can point to it and understand they are doing damage control right now. Because when people see that comet, they're going to realize that it's not a dirty snowball. It's not some little insignificant thing. And so NASA needs a lot of firepower, so to speak, a lot of press, a lot of pre-planned firepower to prevent the public from thinking about that comet being a large object, what would happen if it came close to Earth. It's going to come very close to Mars. What's going to happen if when it comes close to Mars, they don't want anybody looking at that. They've been very mum's the word on announcing anything related to that comet coming close to Mars early in October next year. It's October 1st, actually, of next year. It'll be visible in the morning sky, and I'll be posting on that. So at any rate, the whole issue is that NASA is doing a tremendous amount of damage control. And this Planet X issue, who knows, this may have been planned, this 2012 December 21st issue, to destroy the concept of Planet X, may have been based on this comet C2012 S1, and the fact that next year people will be seeing, for the first time in a long time, a major comet, a comet that is really big, that's going to be off scale in terms of brightness and size, etc. So, just once again, I'll keep people posted on the water filter issue, but it does look like, hopefully you've gotten your water filter already. I'll be looking, absolutely looking for alternatives, for this, and, I'll keep people posted. But I also encourage people that right now, if you're looking for presents for people, books, my books, CDs, DVDs from the webpage, they're all available. And orders should come in very soon if you have an interest in having them delivered but prior to Christmas. Set a cutoff date of about a few days from now. But make sure if you have, and you can put anybody's name or address in your order to have it shipped there directly. But you better do it soon, otherwise we can't guarantee it'll get there before Christmas. This is Jim McCanny, this is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.